begin with a simple illustration that some of you will relate to. And just to make sure, if you can't relate to this, it's okay, because everybody's experiences are different. But there are times in my life when I'm having a bad day. I mean, just not a good day at all. And I'm in selfish mode, and I know I'm being selfish. And the Lord will just do something. The Lord will just work in my heart. And I don't know what to call it, conviction, encouragement, and it'll just kind of get my mind back on Jesus. And I think about how wonderful He is and what a sinner I am and just how great it is to be saved. And there's just something going on. And I'll actually think to myself, I wonder if someone's praying for me. I wonder if right now someone's praying for me. There are times when I study, you know, usually I'm preaching twice a week, so I spend a lot of time with my laptop open, and that's enjoyable time for me. I thank God for the privilege. And I'll look at a passage, especially initially, and there doesn't seem to be a lot going on. Sometimes I'll look and I'll say, Lord, I know You've breathed this out. I'm not exactly sure what it means or what relevance it has. And I don't know, I'll just get up and maybe get a glass of water, maybe even go for a walk outside. I'll come back in, I'll sit down, and it just lights up. And I don't want to leave because it's like, Lord, this is awesome. And it's the same text I was looking at a half hour ago, but it's changed. And I'll think, I wonder if someone's praying for me. And I'll actually wonder, Lord, is someone praying for me? There are times where I just don't know what to do, and I have trouble making a decision. And I'm praying, and it's not really right versus wrong, because that's easier, right, at least hopefully. But I'm trying to think what would be the wisest choice to make, and I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, whatever happens, happens, and all of a sudden it's clear, and I think, Lord, is someone praying for me? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you relate to that, because if you don't, no worries. Your experience, you don't have to feel like me. I'm just telling you how I feel at times. And it's more than occasional, not all of the time. And I wonder, Lord, is someone right now praying for me? And I didn't know it at the time, but there's not the slightest bit of doubt in my mind, because she's told me. My mom put faith in Christ when I was roughly in junior high. She was the first one in our family to come to know Jesus. And my mom's testimony is every night she would kneel down and pray for her husband and pray for her three sons. I'm one of the three. And I came to the place where in college I repented of my sin, I believed the gospel, and now I often think, Lord, no doubt, you used the prayers of my mother to bring me to Christ. Notice, I try to be careful in my wording. I didn't say my mom's praying got me saved. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord used the prayers of my mother to bring me to the place where I heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and turned from my sin and put faith in Jesus. And I know that someone was praying for me. Do you ever wonder if someone's praying for you? The title of the message this morning is Who's Praying For Me? And if you're not already there, I invite you to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to peek ahead to verse 34. Last time we talked about verse 26 and 7. And then we're also going to review verse 26 and 27. And I just want to focus on this one simple question, who's praying for me? And we're going to see in the text in Romans here this morning that it's very clear that even if there's no other person in this world, or at least I should say on this earth, praying for me, there's always someone praying for me. You say, who is that? It begins with Jesus. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Let me read it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. The Apostle Paul writes of Jesus Christ, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised. Now notice the end of the verse. Who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one we talked about and we thought about and we remembered during our observance of the Lord's table just a few minutes ago, the one we sang about in the songs today and every time we come together and worship. He is right now where? At the right hand of God. That would be the Father. You say, what is he doing? Interceding. You say, what is that? That's praying. You say, why don't they call it praying? Well, when you make your request known to God, that's prayer. When you make somebody else's needs known to God, you're praying for somebody, that's interceding. Jesus Christ right now is interceding for us. And Paul says that's true of you if your faith is in Jesus. At this very moment in time, Jesus Christ is praying for you. Why? I mean, why? What is he praying? Do we just guess, you know? And I think if we look at the scriptures, we don't have to guess, but we can actually figure out what he's praying and why he's praying. But the one thing we know is he's at the right hand of God and he's interceding for us. This, I think, is similar to what we read in Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 25. Let me read that. Of Jesus. He's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So according to Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is able to save forever people who draw near to God through him. Now, the only way to get to him is to the Father, is through Jesus. But he's able to save forever. Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, let's just look at the second part. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. So right now, Jesus is praying for you. And it has something to do with saving you forever. And you might be thinking, now, Greg, there was a time in my life when God convicted me and he just illumined my mind and he blessed me with the miracle of regeneration, and the gospel was so clear. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I was saved. I would say, praise the Lord. I rejoice with you. But this verse says he is able to save forever. So it sounds to me in this verse, Jesus is somehow keeping you saved. And it has to do with praying for you. You say, now, so what does that mean? Does that mean if Jesus wasn't doing this, I would lose my salvation? This verse says he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, because he always is praying for you. You say, what's he praying? Why is he praying? And it sounds like maybe if he weren't praying, I would lose my salvation. What does that mean? It means it must be very important if the Bible tells us at least twice that Jesus is praying for us, and it seems to be linked to our salvation. I think it's going to even be more clear if we can transition to a third verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. John writes, my little children, to believers, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, right? So by God's grace, we're all following Jesus and we're trying not to sin. Question, how many of you are successful? You're one of those Christians who never sins. Raise your hand so I can watch you sin, okay? Obviously, no one. No one, okay? If anyone sins, and we do, and I'm not making light of it, we shouldn't, but we do. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What is the word advocate? It's the word paraclete. It's the word that means called alongside of to help. And in this verse, maybe an advocate works great. It's like a defense attorney. You say, what does that mean? It means that Jesus right now today is my advocate. Why? If anyone sins, and you all just admitted, even though you're believers, I hope, you still sin. How are you going to go to heaven if you still sin? You say, well, Greg, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And then you turned around and sinned. So what happens to that sin? You say, uh-oh, what happens to that sin? There is an advocate in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for you. That's what we saw back in Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Why do you need someone always praying for you? Because you're always sinning. And if you don't think you're always sinning, we can talk about that later, but you are. And if you don't believe you are, you have a pretty shallow view of sin. If you keep it to just the really big things, maybe you would say, I'm not always sinning. But if you would believe any single thing you do that fails to give God the glory he deserves is a sin, then you would be honest enough to admit, we're always sinning. Which means we always would be in trouble. Some would even say maybe always losing our salvation. But no, there's someone praying for me. He's my advocate. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And he's at the right hand of the Father. That's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ praying for me. And every time I sin, I'm not saying it's just like this, but maybe every time I sin, Jesus looks at the Father and says, yeah, that one too. He doesn't die again. You don't crucify Christ again. His sacrifice is sufficient for all of my sin. But every time I sin, maybe he's at the right hand saying, Father, with Greg, yeah, that one, yeah, and that, all. Okay? And you too. So don't, you too, if you understand. That's awesome. To think that I am eternally secure in Christ because of Christ. And even though I'm struggling and I'm failing, I have Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father in heaven praying for me. You say, who prays for us? I know one person who prays for us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's unimportant that we pray for one another. I'm thankful for all of you who would pray for me. If you prayed for me one time, I thank you. But I praise God that my Savior is praying for me at the right hand of the Father. And every time I sin, my advocate speaks up on my behalf. Praise God. My salvation is secure. He saves forever those who draw near to God. Now, I want to transition off of that point with the verse many of you know, John 14:16-17, Jesus says to his disciples as he's getting them ready for his departure, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. I just want to pause and look at that. He will give you another helper. What does that mean? Well, the word another doesn't mean another of a different kind. It means another of the same kind. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to ask the Father. He will send you another helper of the same kind, very similar to me, that he may be with you forever. And you know who that is. That is the Spirit of truth. And then it goes on to describe more about the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. If Jesus Christ is praying for me, and Christ himself said that he's going to ask the Father to send another helper, and that other helper is the Holy Spirit, then would it be that far-fetched to think that maybe the Holy Spirit is praying for me too? A number of commentators have pointed this out as they're working through Romans 8. Most evangelicals, most people who believe the gospel, they're pretty good with the intercession of Jesus Christ. And for whatever reason, they're familiar with that. It's awesome, it's wonderful, and it must be. And somehow, the intercessory prayers of the Holy Spirit just aren't as much talked about. But the Bible tells us both of these things, because not only does Jesus pray for us in heaven, according to Romans 8:34, I want to review what we looked at last time. The Holy Spirit prays for us in our hearts. And that's Romans chapter 8 in verses 26 through 27. Let's scroll back just a little bit and review that, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Apostle Paul writes, in the same way, now the previous verses talk about being encouraged to keep looking to the glory that one day will be ours, even as life gets hard in this world. In the same way that we have hope as we look forward to the return of Christ, in the same way, verse 26, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You say, what does that tell me? It tells me not only, number one, is Jesus praying for me in heaven. Number two, the Holy Spirit's praying for me in my heart. Let's just kind of walk through that a little bit, make four simple subpoints, if you will. First thing I know is the Holy Spirit helps us, right? That's verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Again, if you're a humble person, you have no problem acknowledging, I need help. I am a weak person. Christianity is not for proud people. Christ Himself was not proud. The essence of Christianity is humility. It's coming to the Lord and saying, I'm a great sinner. You're a great Savior. So we acknowledge we need help. And the Bible says here, that the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness. Now you say, what do we need help with? Probably everything, but at least in context, notice verse 26, second phrase, we do not know how to pray as we should. We don't know what to pray. I mentioned this last time. Frequently, we don't know what to pray. Now often we know what to pray. Right? Should I pray that I love Nancy the way Jesus loves the church? Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. Should I pray that the Lord would help me to love you and that you would love me? That's a no-brainer. Should I pray that we would put Christ first in all that we do, right? Absolutely. And seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Yeah. But there's all of those times we don't know what to pray. And that might be a decision you're making. And you don't know whether you should decide this or that. And it's not right versus wrong. It's just, I'm not sure. You say, what happens? The Bible makes it very clear. The Spirit prays for us. Notice that word intercession twice. Verse 26. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And then verse 27 again, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He intercedes for the saints. And you guys know, saints is just another word for I have put my faith in Jesus Christ and I believe in Him. It's not like the Catholic thing where you're a super saint and they vote on you, whatever. The Spirit prays for every single follower of Christ. That's how He helps us. That's what the text says. So we know the Holy Spirit helps us. We know the Holy Spirit prays for us. I don't think I've ever done this in my life until this past week. I was facing a decision. It wasn't right versus wrong, and it's not even earth-shattering. I won't even tell you what it is. But I had to make a choice between two different options. Neither one was wrong. Which one was better? I didn't know. And I prayed, Lord, I really do want to honor You with my life. I do. And one of these might be better than the other. In fact, it has to be. I just don't know what to do. And for the first time I'm aware of in my life, I prayed, oh, Holy Spirit, would You please help me? Because Romans 8 says, You pray for me. And I don't know what to pray, but You do. You say, where does it say that? Look at the end of your verse 27. Because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Holy Spirit, You know the Father's will. You know which of these two things is better. Holy Spirit, would You pray for me to the Father right now? You say, why would you pray that? Because I'm getting a better handle on Romans chapter 8. that the Holy Spirit prays for me, and it's always according to the will of the Father. You say, Greg, where do you think that's happening? Well, we have the Spirit helps us and the Spirit intercedes for us. Third subpoint is the Spirit indwells us. He's inside us. You say, is that in the text? Verse 26. Right after it says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Notice verse 27. And he, that's the Father, who searches the hearts. The Father searches what's inside me. He knows what I'm thinking. He who searches the hearts, this is just incredible, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. You say, why would Paul say that? The Father is searching your heart, and the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Why? Because guess where the Holy Spirit is? He's in you. He's inside you. So if the Father knows everything that's in me, and the Holy Spirit is in me, it would be very logical to tie those ideas together. The Holy Spirit indwells you if you're a child of God. And thus the Father, who knows what's in your heart, he knows what's going on inside you, knows exactly what the Holy Spirit is praying. And the Holy Spirit always prays according to the will of the Father. This is incredible. After the service last time, somebody said to me, Greg, what you shared this morning from Romans, I don't even know what to say. It just blows my mind completely apart. And I said, I'm glad it hit somebody else that way. I mean, that's what I end up thinking. And not only does the Spirit help us and intercede for us and indwell us, how about one more? The Holy Spirit thinks about us. The Holy Spirit thinks about us. Yeah. Now, if I were teaching this like in a college age class, I would ask this, and I won't hear, but I would say, how many of you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Raise your hand. And you know, maybe whatever, I don't know, a third of the class or whatever, quarter class, so maybe up to half would raise their hands. I would say, how many of you think a lot about your boyfriend or your girlfriend? And they would raise their hands, especially if their boyfriend or girlfriend was in that same class. And so that's just a normal thing. You know, maybe it's even a junior high school thing, right? If you were to take the notebook, let's just say the biology notebook of a girl in high school, and she has a new boyfriend. And what would happen if you looked at it? You wouldn't find the nucleus is in the middle of a cell. And there's, I don't even know what else is going on in there. I should have looked some words up. Hypochondria? Something like, no? No. How about mitochondria, thank you. I was going to say covalent bonding, but I think that's organic chemistry, huh? Yeah, it's been a long time, okay? Mitochondria, thank you. If you went into that junior high or high school girl's notebook, I'm guessing you would see in there what? Not a cell, but whatever, you know. I just use the name Bob. Bob, right? Bob and me. Me and Bob, true love, forever, together, Bob. And that's just very normal, and you know how that is. And that's, you know, that cell structure, and then as you know, turn a few pages and it'll say, Joe, you know, Joe and me, together, forever. And you know, that's, okay. Just like a girl with a crush keeps thinking about a guy, and it could be a guy with a crush thinking about a girl. Does the Holy Spirit think about you? You say, show me that in the text, Greg. Just look at it. Verse 27. He who searches the hearts knows what? The mind of the Spirit is. The Spirit has a mind. You say, how can a force have a mind? Good question. The Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit's a person. You're a person. You have a mind. You say, how does the Holy Spirit have a mind? The Holy Spirit is a person. He is just as much a person as Jesus is. So when you think about, Lord, I love you and I just want to praise you, and sometimes you might say, Father, I love you. That's entirely appropriate because he's a person. And you might say, Jesus, I love you. And that's appropriate because he's a person. And you might say, Holy Spirit, I love you. And that's appropriate because he's a person. And he has a mind. And he thinks. That's right in the text. I'm not making this up. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And he's thinking about you. And he knows exactly what is best for you. He knows the will of the Father. And he's praying for you. Within you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So not only is Christ in heaven at the right hand of the Father praying for me in relationship to my salvation, the blessed Holy Spirit within is praying to the Father in relationship to my sanctification, if I could put it that way. You say, Greg, that sounds very Trinitarian. Yes. And so as I kind of ramp this up in a way that I hope has encouraged you this morning, I thank the Lord for those of you who pray for me. And I think it's a wonderful thing for us to pray for one another. I praise the Lord for a praying mom who prayed for me. And I believe God used those prayers to bring me to the place of putting faith in Christ. But maybe there's some times where no one's praying for me, at least no guy. And maybe my mom's sleeping or thinking of something else, I'm sure many times, whatever. You say, Greg, who's praying for me then? God. And that's our conclusion. God is praying to God for you. Chew on that. God is praying to God for you. That's what we're seeing in Romans 8. God the Son prays to God the Father for you in heaven. And number two, God the Holy Spirit prays to God the Father for you in your heart. I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. If you're struggling with some great sin and you think, boy, I don't even know what's going on, and here I am a Christian and I shouldn't be sinning like this and things aren't going well, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father and he's praying for you right now if you belong to him. And you might say, Greg, I'm not really struggling with some great sin. I mean, I'm trying to follow Jesus, but sometimes I just don't know what to do. God, the Holy Spirit, is inside you and he's praying to the Father. And you could take confidence in that because he always prays according to the will of the Father. And thus you can be confident that the Father always hears his prayers. Beloved, that's our meditation, devotional, kind of mini message for the morning. God is praying to God for you. God is praying to God for you. And if you leave saying, I still don't really get that, then maybe by God's grace, whether it's this afternoon, this evening, or this week, you can open up to Romans chapter 8 and meditate a little bit on verse 34. Jesus Christ is praying for you at the Father's right hand. And then verses 26 through 27, the Holy Spirit is praying for you within. That is the confidence that you could have if your faith's in Jesus Christ. I don't say this glibly. I don't want to just tack it on at the end, but let me just ask, is this true for you? Because if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, then this would not be true for you. And if you've never come to that place, and I've illustrated this many times, if you've worshipped, you might even think, get a new illustration, but if you've never come to Christ, you are still living for yourself. You're worshiping yourself. But right now, today, you could turn away from yourself and you could say, I want Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he paid the price for my sin on the cross. I believe he's the sinless Lamb of God who came in the flesh and died, and not only died and was buried, but rose again. And you can do that. Anyone who wants to can do that. Just the other day, someone asked me, I have somebody I care about deeply. I don't think he's done that. Why do people not do that? And the answer is because they don't want to. They don't want to. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you are tired of your sin, you could come to Christ today. And if you don't, it's only because you don't want to. But if you want to, by God's grace, you can. And then what you've heard this morning would be true of you, that God is praying to God for you. The invitation's always open. If I can help you, I'll be at the door on the way out. Just stop and say you want to talk, whether that's right away or whether that's grabbing coffee this week. The invitation's always open. If you don't want to talk with me, I'll set you up with somebody else. Ladies, we'll have you meet with a couple or another woman. And if your faith is in Christ, God is praying to God for you. If you need help at all, let us know. Let's pray.